Astodara Sita Sri Sriman, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Iskand, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Raj Granta Sriman Bhagavatam Ki. Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki. Nitai Gaur Primanam. All glories to the assembled devotees. Glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Guru. You'll have to excuse me. After traveling extensively for the last 3 days, I'm a little behind in my activities, so I haven't yet to begin chanting my rounds yet. So I'll give a short class, and then can try. This section of the Srimad Bhagavatam gets a little technical, and so we'll try to say something, but the real technicality starts to manifest in the following verses, the next few days. Okay. This is Canto 7, Chapter 15, Text Number 62, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhavadvaitam Kriyadvaitam Dvavadvaitam Tatmanaha Vartayan Swanubhutyeha Trin Swapnam Dunute Munahi Vadvaitam Kriyadvaitam Tvavadvaitam Tatmanaha Vartayan Swanubhuteya Twin Sapna Swapnan Dunute Munahi Bhavadvaitam Kriyadvaitam Tvavadvaitam Tatmanaha Vartayan Swanubhuteya Trin Swapnam Dunute Munahi Vavadvaitam Kriyadvaitam Tvavadvaitam Tatmanaha Avartayan Swanubhuteya Trin Swapnam Dunute Munahi. Thank you. Oneness in one's conception of life. Kriyadvaitam. Oneness in activities. Dvava advaitam. Oneness in different paraphernalia. Tada, as well as Atmanaha, of the soul. Vartayan, considering. Swa, one's own. Anubhutya, according to realization. Iha, in this material world. Trin, the three. Swapnan, living conditions. Wakefulness, dreaming, and sleep. Dunute, gives up. Munihi, the philosopher or a speculator. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After considering the oneness of existence, activity, and paraphernalia, and after realizing the self to be different from all actions and reactions, the mental speculator, Muni, according to his own realizations, gives up the three states of wakefulness, dreaming, and sleep. Purport. The three words, Bhavadvaita, Kriyadvaita, and Dvavadvaita, are explained in the following verses. However, one has to give up all the non-duality of philosophical life in the material world and come to the actual life of reality in the spiritual world in order to attain perfection. End of purport. Please repeat. After considering the oneness of existence, activity and paraphernalia, and after realizing the self to be different from all actions and reactions, the mental speculator, according to his own realization, gives up the three states of wakefulness, dreaming, and sleep. Om Agyan Timirandasya Jena Jena Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapditam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Dadati Kam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Svyadvaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gauda Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So this is getting very a little technical here in speaking about the different aspects of one's existence within the material world. Existence, that is, you know, the body, activity, and the activity performed by the body, and the paraphernalia that is used in that activity, extensions of the body. Prabhupada mentions in the purport the three words, but he doesn't give any explanation, only reference to the future verses which will come up, which describe each of these one individually with some discussion. So, but for the sake of doing justice to this particular sloka, here basically what is being explained is that in the material world, you know, there are so many activities and there are so many aspects to these activities and there are so many ways to experience the different levels of activity. That is, as we are now in our conscious state of existence, we are realizing it from what is called wakefulness. So this is a state of reality. But there are other states of reality within the reality also. But of course, we may say that this reality is not reality. So within the illusion, there are different conceptions of what is reality. Ultimately, as compared to our existence within the perfectional state, that is our spiritual existence, all material states of existence are illusion. And therefore, ultimately, in the absolute sense, everything in this material world is an illusion. Nasato vidyate bhavo, navabo vidyate sataha, ubayor apitristam tas, tvaniyostatu darsabihi. Krishna explains in the second chapter that the seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existence there is no duration, and in the existence there is no cessation. This seers have concluded by studying the nature of both activities. Anything that does not, anything that exists within time, according to the definition of reality, is considered to be an illusion. And that is, it is not that it doesn't exist, it's just that it's presented in a way that it's not the reality. For example, you may be walking on the street and you see, oh, there's a snake. But actually, it's not a snake, it's a rope. But you mistakenly think that the rope is a snake, and therefore you become a little frightened. So, it's not that a snake doesn't exist. He does. But it's not a snake. What you're seeing is a rope. You think it's a snake. So, in the same way, what we think in this material world is real in the sense that it will provide what it appears to do is the illusion. This is the... So therefore, this verse says that all existence within the material world, all activities in that existence, and all extension, all the paraphernalia to perform the activities, ultimately are different states of one's actions and reactions. And one has to give these up. As well as giving up the states of the realization of these, that is, the three states of existence. Wakefulness, as we are here, and then there's the state of dreaming, and then the state of sleep. Of course, in the most subtle existence within the material world, that is the state of deep sleep or sleep, there is no conscious awareness of the existence, of one's existence. But still, the existence is there. Although there's no conscious awareness, one is still under the influence of that existence. In the lesser, more gross state, in the sleep state, although there is dreaming and some perception of reality and one is maybe experiencing that, we don't identify that to have any real meaning. Of course, philosophers and psychologists and psychiatrists and other types of thinkers are trying to analyze the dream state in order to apply there some kind of relevancy to one's waking state of existence. But it's like trying to see the dream within the dream. Srila Prabhupada explains that even this state, as we identify as reality, is a dream state. He says, what's the difference between dreaming at night and this state of existence we call reality? He says, the only difference is that this is a longer dream. That's all. It's a longer dream. There's no difference. That's a short dream or a night dream. And this is a longer dream. So just like sometimes one is dreaming, or they're being chased by some tiger, or they're having some romantic encounter within the dream, or they're eating something, or they might be, you know, just doing the various things. When it's all over, you wake up, it's gone, you say, oh, that was a dream. And then somehow you go on. So from another perspective, in our conscious state of of Krishna consciousness or spiritual awareness, this particular reality we call, you know, our wakefulness every day is like that. So we might speak from that point, just like we're thinking, oh, you know, I'm a man, or I'm a woman, or I'm from a certain country, or I'm hungry, or I'm in anxiety, or I'm old. These are all manifestations of aspects of the dream state. Therefore, from the absolute point of view, they really have no relevance. The only relevance is that they can take you, by using the paraphernalia in the dream state, they can help you get to the real state. Just like sometimes psychologists and psychiatrists provide a certain analytical understanding of dreams to help you in understanding your waking state. And similarly, in the waking state, we can also use certain things to help us reach the real state of existence. So that's the real meaning of this material world. It's an opportunity. The existence in this opportunity is to help us get to the real state of existence. It's not a place to identify with the dream and try to make some kind of happiness within the dream. And that's the problem. It's like putting some food in a mirror and then trying to eat the food in the mirror. You can't. In a dream state, you also get some experience of sometimes, and there's some kind of reactions to the dream, even on the physical level. So also, you're feeling fear, you're feeling happiness, even in the dream. And so it's in the same way, in this waking state, we're getting some experience of this form of dream, and we think it's the reality. It's the reality. So here it says that one must give up all aspects of the dream. The existence of the dream, the activity of the dream, and the paraphernalia, which is, and one must come to the stage of perfection. When Lord Chaitanya was speaking with Sanatana Goswami, he was given an understanding of what is this material world. He says, as one verse, dvaita, 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 bhadra, bhadra, sarva, jnana, sarva, manodharma, e manda, e bala, e sabda, brahman. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking. He says that this whole idea, this material world, is this is good and this is bad. He said it's all mental concoction. It's all mental concoction. This is good and this is bad. Even in our relative existence, on different levels, we see that some people accept something as good and another person will accept the same thing as bad. Especially politicians. They make different plans. One side says it's good, another side says it's bad. Same plan. People have different likes and dislikes. They like something and someone else doesn't like the same thing. So we see what is bad and what is good. And even within the standard levels of morality, which is somewhat acceptable, Krishna destroyed that whole thing when he asked Arjuna to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. Kill your relatives, kill your friends, fight, and don't worry about it. Do it for me. People say, Bhagavad Gita, oh, Bhagavad Gita. You use that as a religious scripture? It's about a war. How can you take a war as a basis for spirituality? Because people have their own definition of what is real and what is not real based on mental concoction. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I can't remember the actual, Prajahati yada karman, Parthano mano sarvagano sarvaparta manogata. Vatmanam e vatmanam tushta tijin. Sthitapati Tutuchchite. He said, when a man gives up all varieties of mental concoction, which is due to the contact of the senses and the sense objects, and the mind finds pleasure in the self alone, that person is considered to be on the transcendental plane. So there, this whole material world is a mental concoction. Basically, it's a mental concoction. And people, living entities, are attached to their mental concoctions. We're attached to our mental concoctions. And we think our mental concoctions are more important than someone else's mental concoctions. It's like two wrongs don't make a right. So these are the considerations. So gradually one has to, in a very systematic way, see the difference between what is real and what is unreal. So we take the unreal to help us get to the real. This material world is also a manifestation of the energy of the Lord. So in that sense, it has some value. So therefore we use what is here to help us get to where we want to go. But we make no permanent... To make a permanent plan in this material world is like trying to build a house on a sand barge. You don't have any foundation. The house will be blown away by the wind. It will collapse due to the fact that the foundation is not based on something steady. So similarly, any attempts to set up something in this material world for one's own happiness is based on this misconception that this place is our home. So it's a certain consciousness that one has to see the paraphernalia, see the illusion, but not identify with the illusion. Use the illusion to help to get to the reality. That is all. Therefore, a devotee sees everything as Krishna's energy. He sees everything as a manifestation, as an opportunity to use for Krishna's service. So therefore, that is the stage of peace, that is the stage of happiness. Bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhidam sarvabhutanam shantam mamyantam rajchati. Krishna says in the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, I'm the proprietor, I'm the enjoyer, everything is created by me. And if you just engage in my service, then you become peaceful, you become happy, and I give you whatever is necessary. With detachment. We have to engage in devotional service with detachment. We have to be attached to Krishna and detached from our own conceptions of what is right and what is wrong, and follow the instructions of the spiritual master and develop a sense of detachment. Every attachment in this world is a source of pain. We should always remember that any attachment we have, even if you're attached to one little sweet ball, that pain, that attachment to a sweet ball, will also be a source of anxiety and pain. Any attachment, no matter how small it is, always causes bondage and suffering. So because it doesn't belong to us, and Krishna gives it, we use it for Krishna's service. If Krishna doesn't give it, then we see it simply as his energy. That's all. And this is the platform of freedom. This is the platform of happiness, detachment. Attachment is the platform of suffering. So these three levels of existence, the levels of activity, existence in the material world, activity and paraphernalia, all have to be given up. Why? Because they are different from the self. In the ultimate sense, they have no real meaning. So these are some points in this verse. So I could speak a little bit longer, but is there any questions, comments at this point? Murari? There's two ways of becoming detached. There's the indirect way, and there's the direct way. The indirect way is usually not the most effective way. Is that that it's called, you know, Sankhya Yoga, the neti-neti process. This is not. As long as the heart still remains attached to the desire for sense gratification, the process of gyan to develop detachment is a very rigorous process. It works that we have to see everything as being, you know, not related. In other words, you understand that you're a spirit soul. I'm spirit soul, part and parcel of God. And that because this is the material world, this matter has nothing to do with to me. So gradually we reduce our association with the forms of sense gratification in this material world. And this is what the gyanis do. Ultimately, Krishna says when you reach that perfectional stage of renunciation and knowledge, then what do you have to do? The next stage is surrender to Krishna. So ultimately, the desires are there, and the process of bhakti yoga is more effective. Bhakti means keeping yourself, mind, body, intelligence, words, in the service of the Lord. Although there is still attraction within the heart for the manifestations of this material world, if one keeps themselves engaged in Krishna consciousness, and gradually through that process, one develops a higher taste, and one starts to become attracted more and more to Krishna's service. So we just have to be patient. It's not like all of a sudden, even though we, you know, are keeping ourselves nicely engaged in Krishna's service, these desires are going to be gone. They go deep. It is explained that the living entity in the material world is called Nityabhata. Nityabhata means eternally conditioned. So one might say, well, how can me, who is a spirit soul, be conditioned eternally? Wasn't I one time with Krishna in the spiritual world? Yes, but the word or the application of that term applies that you have been in the material world for so many millions of births that your contamination and your attachments to the material world, although it's not your real nature, appears to be your real nature. It's so deep. It goes very deep. It's the fact is, how you realize how deep it is, the more you become purified, the more you realize how contaminated you are. You know, a new bhakta, a new devotee in Krishna consciousness, after 1 year thinks himself he's pure devotee. You know? Like in our society many years ago, we used to have this term, it was called PDS. And there would be some devotees who, after practicing Krishna consciousness for 1 year, they would think, ha ha, I'm a pure devotee. Just see. And they'd be doing so many things. And this was PDS, was pure devotee syndrome. This was the actual terminology. But then after a few years, we find that they're, you know, dancing with Maya again. So it's not, you know, although we work hard and become very enthusiastic for a year or two in the beginning, we have to maintain that steadiness and gradually, inartas start going away. They're deep. They're very deep. And what is the deepest of all the inartas? And the basically, ahankara, false ego, that I'm this body. And sometimes we might say, one can give up lust. I mean, lust is hard to give up, but it's possible. But as you give up lust, can you give up pride? Can you give up the conception that I'm important? That is even harder to give up. You know, devotees sometimes make advancement in spiritual life by giving up the gross forms of sense gratification. But then they become affected by the subtle levels, that I'm a big devotee, that I'm important, I'm intelligence, that I'm soul, you know, advanced, you know, everybody's worshiping me. And this type of subtle pride ultimately leads to one to fall down again into lusty activities. So we always have to hold tight to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. That is the only shelter. That's the only shelter in this world. You hold tight to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and never let go. And then you can ride the waves of all your attachments and eventually pass through them. What is that verse that we sing during the initiation? Om pravitro apravitro va sarvas dopi va pundrik aksman. Purified or unpurified, having passed through all stages of life, one who remembers this lotus-eyed personality of Godhead is purified from within and without. So having passed through all stages of existence. So this material world is like one giant ocean. And there's so many crocodiles and whales and Tim and Gillifish, minnows, other kinds of aquatics there. There's always so many disturbances. And Prabhupada says, Krishna is ahoksaja, he's beyond the reach of your senses. You are full of material desires, and the material energy is trying to reinforce those desires by attracting. So these are three basic obstacles. We can't even see Krishna. He's beyond the range of our senses. And we are still contaminated, and Maya is still attracting us. So it's a struggle. Therefore, you have to hold tight. You have to not let go to the lotus feet of the Lord. If you let go, for even for a second, that second may cause some difficulty. Therefore, there's one verse from the Vishnu Puran that says, what is the greatest anomaly? What is the greatest calamity? What is the greatest catastrophe? To forget the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead for one moment. Vishnu Puran says, even for a moment, that is the greatest loss. So when we understand the nature of this material world, and how very powerful Maya is, and how dangerous this material world, we become really serious in our spiritual life. And we have to hold on to Krishna's lotus feet by holding on to the instructions of the spiritual master and ride the waves of the difficulty. And taking nice association from devotees, regularly chanting our rounds, working, you know, enthusiastically and regularly in our Krishna consciousness, this is the means for purification. And gradually, Maya, or the effects of Maya, become less and less. But we always have to remember one thing, that the real success in spiritual life is Trinadapi Sunichena, Dayorapi Sahishnina, Amanina Mamanadena, Kirtanaya Siddhati. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized this verse. Jiva Goswami said, take this verse, string it around your neck, and wear it as an ornament on the holy name. He said, this verse is so essential for us. Humbler than the blade of grass, more tolerant than the tree, ready to give respects to others and not asking any respect for yourself. These are the necessary qualifications for success in spiritual life. Without that, it's impossible to attain that stage. Therefore, the whole process is constant cultivation of these qualities and constant absorption in the devotional service of the Lord. In life, one has to be enthusiastic about something. Everyone is enthusiastic about something. Most people are enthusiastic to enjoy their senses in one form or another. Devotees have to see that we have to give our hearts, minds, and everything we have to this process of Krishna consciousness. When you give everything, you know, then the process becomes easy. When you hold back and you try to give 50% to Krishna and 50% for yourself, it's like being pulled in two different directions at the same time. It's very difficult. There's some advancement, but it's very, very slow. But again, the most important thing is to stay in the association of devotees and hold tight to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. That is our only hope. Any other questions, comments? Yes, Mother? Hare Krishna, glory to Prabhupada. I'm not able to hear you clearly. Good and bad in this material world. Yes. You have some judgment. What is the question? Yes. Is it still allowed? There's one term, it's called Shastra Chakshush. The Shastra means scripture and Chakshush means to see. So just like a dog sees with his nose, and dog senses the reality of existence with his nose. He's always seeing what he needs through his smell. An ordinary person sees with their eyes. And a devotee sees with their ears. So we take the words of the spiritual master and the words of the scriptures and the words of the previous acharyas and we apply them. And then we formulate our judgments based on that. Not based on what we see or our own mental conceptions. Because they're always subject to change according to that situation. Therefore, we can have judgments, but they must be grounded in truth. They must be grounded in philosophy. They must be grounded in Shastra. Otherwise, what is the value of such judgments? So it's not wrong to have judgment, but it has to be based on what is the reality. But we also have to be careful to make sure that we are applying the truth to each situation. So usually, a devotee will not spend so much time in these types of activities. Usually a devotee is always more or less engaged in the positive aspect by serving Krishna. And if there's some, of course we're not fools, there's discrimination there. But you'll find that the more one engages in devotional service, the more Krishna gives you the intelligence to understand how to understand things. And then we can ask, then we can apply these things. So it's not wrong to have judgment, but it has to be based on, you know, the instructions of the spiritual master the words of Krishna coming through the scriptures like that. And if we're not sure, then we can go and get approach the those who know and ask, this is my understanding, is it correct or not? And then we're safe. A devotee is thoughtful. A devotee is not foolish. A devotee is not passionate. Passion is a danger. By acting in a passionate way, we make mistakes. By acting in a passionate way, we misjudge things. And by acting in a passionate way, sometimes we get tripped up by Maya. So therefore, Krishna told Arjuna, you have to come to the mode of goodness. You have to give up the mode of passion and ignorance in order to actually understand the transcendental realm. So a devotee is thoughtful. He's not impulsive. We may be enthusiastic, and that enthusiastic comes out in certain ways. But that enthusiasm is also Krishna consciousness. It's not based on a passionate mood. Okay, these are just some considerations to your point, that's all. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Any other questions? Okay, so I was going to try to end by 8:30, and we did it. Okay. So thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.